Russell Chatham's two necessary passions in life are painting and fishing. In one of his essays about the outdoors, he wrote, "Some of us went quite crazy over fishing at a pretty tender age. I think those like myself were at first seeking a kind of refuge away from the erratic and sometimes frightening behavior of our young peers. For some, fishing was a momentary distraction, soon to be replaced by cars, sports, and a teenager's natural attraction to the opposite sex. For others, change came more slowly and painfully. Some of the results of the latter were an expansion of real knowledge about fishing, development of finely tuned skills, and a more mature understanding of just how reliable the natural world really is, something only sensed earlier." This natural world figures strongly in Russell Chatham's landscape paintings of the West. Chatham is a self-taught painter and writer. An early influence was his grandfather, the painter Gotardo Piazzone, whose murals hang in the San Francisco Public Library. His grandfather first exposed Chatham to oils when he was 3. I asked him if he could still recall how he felt when he first saw and smelled the paint.
The thing I remember most was there were some tubes of paint, which, in retrospect, of course, were tubes that he was finished with. They were only half full. And one in particular is this really filthy sort of gnarled tube, which I opened up. And looking at that yellow paint, which was like what we would call a cadmium yellow, probably medium, and just thinking that the smell of it and the consistency of it and the color of it was simply the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen.
Much of your artwork reflects the landscape of California and of Montana, and you clearly spend a great deal of time out of doors. Is there a special pleasure for you in painting out of doors, the plein air kind of painting, as opposed to being in a studio?
Well, absolutely. Outside, the way I feel about it is what you're doing outside is you're filling the well, collecting information, you're sketching, and you're responding directly to what you see around you. It's a very, needless to say, a very pleasant way to paint, and it's also very important because it keeps the new stimulus that you bring in, keeps you from repeating yourself. When you go into the studio, you're doing a more reflective kind of painting. And in my case, at least, working completely from memory, pulling in images, which, of course, your mind distorts in your own particular way. The two are very different. They have obvious similarities, but they are quite different.
One of your stories describes the changes that you've seen on the Gualala River in Northern California, going from a time when you were there in your youth, when it was possible for there to be one fisherman per pool, and now it's jammed with people in prams and standing around in the water so that you probably can't get a decent cast in. One of the sort of emotions I sense in your writing is a sense of loss about the outdoor world. And I wonder also if you're painting, if your time in the landscape, you also have a sort of sense of loss as the landscape changes around you.
Well, clearly you do. I grew up, lived in San Francisco till I was 10 years old. We moved over to Marin County in 1950. And at that time, Marin County was extremely rural, and it was a place where you could deer hunt. This would be unthinkable today. And we had excellent fishing, terrific salmon and steelhead fishing, duck hunting, quail hunting, all that sort of thing. And I do definitely have a sense of loss because it's impossible for me to return to the places where I used to fish and hunt, and which I loved very much, because what was there is now vanished.
Do you fear the same thing might happen as a result of people coming to know Montana through your paintings and your writings?
Well, it's inevitable. It won't be as severe, of course, as it was in California because the climate there is so brutal that it isn't. People are not drawn to the area to live. It's economically depressed and so forth. But what we do see up there is a tremendous increase in fishermen and hunters, vacationers, skiers, and so forth. We're not at a point right now where we're looking at any sort of disaster. But in the short time that I've been there, which is 18 years or thereabouts, there's been quite a drastic change around the area where I live, which is in the southwest corner, about 50 miles north of Yellowstone Park in Livingston on the Yellowstone River. Frankly, that area now resembles the Marin County I grew up in, and it's beginning to feel a little crowded to me.
Hmm. You live near where the Jefferson, the Madison, and the Gallatin Rivers come together at Three Forks to form the Missouri River. I wonder if you could describe that physical setting for us.
Oh, it's quite an extraordinary one, both physically and, of course, historically. I'm, at the moment, working on a large painting using that motif. It's an odd, dry, kind of desert, rocky landscape. And the Jefferson winds in very slowly from the west. The Madison is in its own valley coming down from Yellowstone Park. The Madison tends to flow at a rather even rate the year round. The Gallatin is what you would probably describe. It's the smallest of the three rivers coming in from the east. But right there at Three Forks, you have this kind of braid where they come together, and of course, as they meet and become the Missouri River, it's quite a formidable stream. This painting that I'm working on, which was a commission from the Museum of the Rockies, is a view from the Missouri, from the north side, from the Missouri side, looking back down from a hill there onto the confluence of the rivers, so that we see them, if you could imagine seeing them in two dimensions, would be like looking at tree branches. It's the armature of the painting is the reflection of the sky off of these braids of the rivers as they join.
Your depictions of rivers through your artwork got a mixed reaction from, what was it, somebody at the Whitney Museum who wondered whether, in fact, the river that you had painted was, in fact, the Yellowstone River?
Well, that was a bit comical. I think that the director wanted to see if he could acquire a painting for their collection. And their collection tends to be, I think, directed more at what comes to mind when you say Western art, which is, shall we say, a fairly realistic approach to either the landscape or cowboys, Indians, that sort of thing, whether historical or not. And so I painted several paintings thinking that I would give them a choice of these. And it was simply the first painting they looked at, I think, was they were unaccustomed to seeing paintings that looked different than any others. And evidently someone who was involved with the money end of things on the board or something like that looked at this painting and felt that it was an extremely, extremely vague concoction and made the remark that, well, yes, he says it's the Yellowstone River, but how do we know? And what was doubly funny, of course, to me was that during the time I was painting this picture, in my mind, of course, it was so utterly specific that it never occurred to me that anybody else would think it was vague.
The part of Montana that you live in has become in some ways chic. You're there. The author Thomas McGuane is living in Montana. It attracted Richard Brodigan. The number of Hollywood movie stars are now living in Montana as a retreat or year-round as a base of operations. And part of the notice that you have earned is from attention from Hollywood stars. And I'm wondering how this has affected your sense of yourself as a painter.
Well, not terribly, simply because if you or the listeners could see the area, you would the first thing you would notice is that it's not chic at all. There's no visible evidence of movie stars or what have you. And the people, the authors who came there, and movie stars alike, live pretty simply. We're not talking about Aspen or Sun Valley or anything like that, where there's, you know, shopping for the rich and you know, restaurants and this sort of thing. The area, to outward appearances, is quite normal, and I think that the point here is that the people who move there, and they're really not so many as one is led to believe, have done so simply to be away from chic, to be someplace quiet where they can enjoy a little anonymity, if you will. And so the way that I live my daily life, I don't see anything chic at all. I'm able to live very, very simply without any interferences whatsoever from the outside.
Well, Russell Chatham, I'd like to thank you very much for coming in and talking with us today on Fresh Air.
Well, thank you.
Landscape painter, writer, and fly fisherman Russell Chatham. Some of his essays and articles are collected in his recent book, Dark Waters, published by Clark City Press in Livingston, Montana. Chatham is Clark City's publisher. This is Fresh Air.